Welcome back to Be Right, where we got a little reset Masters episode for you. I'm Stephen Hennessy, joined as always by Christopher Powers, coming to you live from the great state of New Jersey after Friday's second round here. We're missing our guy Myers, but he's down at Augusta. He was slacking us while he was drinking a million beers in the press center, trying out their new brew. So don't feel too bad for him. He's been walking around Augusta yucking it up with Trevor Lawrence. So we'll get his thoughts maybe at the end of Sunday's round. But Christopher, let's just talk about the first 2 days. I don't know about you, but it was a little boring. I thought, you know, it's probably blasphemy to say the Masters was boring, but not too many fireworks on Friday. I thought Thursday was pretty interesting. It played so firm and fast and tough. And then you just had Justin Rose kind of like middling around and not doing too much. He maintains his lead by one shot. What were your main takeaways from today and the last 2 days?
Yeah, don't disagree. I feel like that kind of happens a lot with these majors. Thursday and Friday, we're all, you know, we build them up Monday through Wednesday to the point where Wednesday night, it's like just you're watching live for the fifth time, like we used to watch SportsCenter back in the day over and over. And, you know, by Thursday, it's like it's going to be a letdown. And then the weekend always picks up, especially at Augusta, unless there's a guy up by 10 or 11 shots. It will pick up tomorrow for sure. But as content people, you know, we want stuff to happen. We kind of got a little of that this afternoon with Siwoo Kim bending his putter, which is just a crazy move, three off the lead. You know, I could understand it if you're, you know, Bernd Wiesberger yesterday, who putted the ball off the green on 15, you know, made a bogey. I could see it then, but three off the lead on Friday on 15, he had a birdie over the green on his third on 15, over the green on his second, then over the green again, was lucky to not roll into the water. And then just slammed his putter before even hitting the birdie putt. So that was a weird move. Then he ended up two putting with his three wood the rest of the way. So wow. Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I know what you're saying. It was yesterday was a little more fiery. Definitely. Unfortunately, it's probably only going to get softer. The greens, if they get a little rain tomorrow, though, I was just looking at the forecast. It's a little hard to gauge unless you got that dad app, whatever it's called, that you pay for. I forget. You guys have it.
I mean, golfers.
Dark Sky, like, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dark Sky is amazing.
Yeah. I don't have that one. So I'm just looking at Weather Channel, and it looks like it's clear up until like the leaders tee off. So I don't know. If we're going to start talking strategy, I really like a couple guys who will tee off in the morning. I think the morning will be kind of ripe for a guy to make a charge up the leaderboard. So we'll get into that, obviously. But yeah, I don't disagree with what you said, but I would expect plenty of excitement. We got Spieth, we got Justin Thomas. That they're on a crash course right now for Sunday final round pairing, which would be absolutely electric. Justin Rose, I mean, back was no good at Bay Hill. I thought, you know, he was in trouble, and all of a sudden he's in the lead. He's such a great player here at Augusta, but was one of the question marks, like Brooks Koepka. I wish we were all on Justin Rose instead of Brooks Koepka this week.
Yeah, like Rose said, he didn't expect this at all. And, you know, his coach, Sean Foley, didn't expect it. But there he is atop the lead. He did look shaky at the start of his round, even admitted that he, you know, was close to hitting the panic button. But then right of the ship, made a few birdies coming in. But he's the only one in the top 20 in the leaderboard right now who did not go under par on Friday. So he didn't extend his lead, and, you know, in not doing so is kind of let a lot of people into the tournament. And, you know, like you said, you know, there's a bunch of guys within four shots of the lead. You know, I think it's tough at Augusta to come back from too far back, which we'll talk about a bit, because you got like Bryson DeChambeau had a really good round today, shot 67, which he called Augusta was a par 67. So that was just a phenomenal headline for us content producers. But, you know, he's six back. So the question is that too far back? You know, there's still 36 holes left. And if it does play a little softer, like we saw today, and, you know, if they get a little more moisture in the greens, you know, maybe if someone goes 66, 65, you know, that's obviously in the mix. But yeah, let's just get into into the guys further down. You said you liked some guys who are a little farther back teeing off earlier on Saturday. Who are some of those guys who have your attention?
Yeah. So you just said Bryson, and you know, I give him a long, hard look, but he's, I want to say, you know, depending on where you look, 25-1, 20-1.
Which is insane for being that far back.
Right. Which was kind of going to bring me to my next point. There are guys, really good players, who are 50-1, 125-1, who are even par. Bryson's one under. So obviously he's got a ton of firepower. And like you said, he shoots a 65 tomorrow. I think the lead will be 10 on, you know, 9 under, maybe 10 under, maybe it'll get to 11 under even. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to go out and shoot 65 to get within 4 or 5 of the lead. But to me, Bryson at 25-1, there's a much better player at even par, not a much better player, but a much better value play on a guy at even par who was one of your picks at the beginning of the week. I didn't buy into the whole dad narrative, but John Rahm is 50-1. On DraftKings. I'm not sure what his other numbers are at some of the other books.
45-1 at William Hill.
Even that's better than Bryson to me. He's one shot back at Bryson. He hasn't had his, you know, big round. You know, Bryson had a 67 today. That's tough to replicate 2 days in a row at Augusta, especially Bryson admitted after the round today, he's struggling without his green reading books, which they don't allow at Augusta National. But he's taken the challenge head on, but you know, Rahm's one back, hasn't had his like 65 yet, could absolutely has the firepower to shoot a 65 tomorrow. So that would be my first, guide down the board to kind of throw 10, 20 bucks on at 50-1. You can have a, you know, pretty big return on your investment there. If he has a, you know, if he gets in the mix tomorrow, you know, it's worth the 10 bucks.
Yeah. And compared to what you would have gotten him pre-tournament, you know, the 12-1, the 50-1 difference. And you're right. If he starts hot, you obviously know you can at Augusta and, you know, get at least 2 under through 3, maybe even get another one early. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, 3-4 back. So I like him a little further down at William Hill. Ryan Palmer has been very sneaky this week, and this on Friday he played really well. All of a sudden he's just 5 back. He's 125-1 right now at William Hill. So someone who, you know, doesn't have the great experience at Augusta, but he's played so well in the last year or so. And you know, obviously to win the Masters, this is what we're talking about, an outright bet. So pretty unlikely that Ryan Palmer is going to win at Augusta, but just, you know, we're looking at value. We're talking numbers, and that number stands out to me. And you mentioned him before, punting off the green yesterday. Bernd Wiesberger's at 50-1.
There's some serious disrespect going on for
major disrespect. Yeah.
Wiesberger's one of them.
He was atop the lead for most of the day. What did he finish? 5 under, right? So he's 2 back. I mean, are you kidding?
Six under today, 4 under. So he's 3 back.
Right, 3 back. And he's been in the mix before. People forget that he was in the final group at the 2014 mm-hmm. PGA. So, you know, and that was a long time ago too. You know, he's used to these spots. This moment is not too big for Bernd Wiesberger. So that's
funny. I'm smiling because I was going to save this for later, but I already bet on his over tomorrow. DraftKings has,
what is it?
Him 71.5. And I was going to reference 2014, how he kind of shot 75 in the final round. That was kind of the last time he was in a spot like this. This is a huge spot for him tomorrow. That was with Rory, but the conditions were kind of ripe for scoring that day. And he still shot 75. So that was going to kind of be my rationale. No top 10s in majors. I think there's a lot of pressure on him tomorrow. I think even par is a good score tomorrow for him. Yeah. You know, that could still have him 4 or 5 back. That would still hit the over. But I'm smelling a 74 or 75 for him. But, you know, he's a veteran, 7-time European Tour winner. You know, he could surprise us tomorrow too. But I did already bet his over.
That's a pretty good bet, actually. I think the value's there with the outright. But that's pretty strong. I can't argue. It was
+110+ odds.
+110. He's in the third to last group playing alongside Jordan Spieth. So that's obviously a huge spot.
All eyes on that group tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about Spieth in a second. Let's just reset all the groups tomorrow. The last group will be Justin Rose and Will Zalatoris, which, man, crazy. what a spot for the 24-year-old. You know, people were kind of joking that he could contend. I don't think anyone really seriously considered that he would be in the final group on Saturday at Augusta. That iron play is just so insanely good. So he'll play with Jay Rose at 220, Brian Harman and Mark Leishman in the group right behind at 210. We got the big game hunter, Brian Harman, playing with the Aussie, Mark Leishman, who's been so good so far. Pretty quiet too. He hasn't gotten much coverage on TV, but that'll change if he plays well tomorrow. Then Spieth and Weisberger at 2, Tony Finau and Justin Thomas are like, you know, what firepower at 150. They played together in the first 2 days too, and they both went off today on Friday. Finau had an unfortunate miss on the last hole to drop a shot, or else that could have even been better. And JT also missed a short.
Eerily similar to the one he missed at Riviera on 10 when we both had him to win a lot of money. That would have been a lot of money that week.
Yes. You know, I would
PTSD.
I would be, yeah. I mean, the PTSD with Finau is strong because it's been built up and building for years for me, because I've spent a lot of money on him since I'm such a Tony Finau fan. But yeah, I mean, imagine if Finau had won the Riviera and entered here. I mean, it'd be a completely different narrative, you know, having already gotten the big win in a big field. And yeah, it's
amazing. He missed two cuts in a row. And yeah. You know, I saw really some, he's lost. Tony Finau's lost. Like, he almost won at Riviera.
Yeah.
He top tens every week. He had a couple off weeks. Like, I didn't bet him, so I shouldn't talk. Mm-hmm. But I'm not too surprised by that. He can, you know, he's a guy that can pop off at any second. And if he wins at Riviera, we're talking about what a great, like you just said, what a great season he's having. He's, you know, this is his chance to win the Masters. We'd be done talking about all his close calls. But, you know, that's the difference between a, you know, missed shorty on the 10th hole at Riviera right now for him.
That's, I mean, the difference between winning and losing on tour is exactly that. It's so minute. But Finau's 14-1 at William Hill, Justin Thomas 5-1. Mm-hmm. The books obviously really like JT for good reason. And interestingly, at the PGA when he won in 2017, he was in this similar position, 5 back going into the weekend, and we know how that ended. So you know, JT's got to like his chances. He's right there. And then just the last few groups behind them, Siwoo Kim and Cam Champ. I threw in a live bet on Cam Champ at 70-1. He right now at William Hill is 33-1. So he's right there, and Siwoo is 25-1. He'll be able to replace his putter in the bag for tomorrow. And Hideki and Xander Schauffele also 130. Let's see their odds. Let's see. This is
Xander. I kept, you know, we were talking today, you and I, just monitoring the, you know, the live outright lines, and we were talking about Zalatoris. Crazy, was 50-1 on the 16th tee, and I think he was 4 under at that point. Got scaredy cat, didn't bet it. He hits it to like 10 feet. He goes to 33-1 before he even hits the putt. Then he hits the putt and goes to 25-1. Then he makes 2 more birdies. Now I'm seeing 11-1 on William Hill.
Yep.
I think I saw 8-1 somewhere else. We were talking about disrespect before. They're giving him a lot of respect, Zalatoris. This would be historic. Fuzzy Zeller was the last guy to win in his first try. Obviously, right. He's extremely talented. I think he'll win plenty of majors in his career, but you know, that's crazy to be 11-1, 24-year-old in his first Masters, but he's proven he can hang so far.
Yeah, it gets a little different when you're, you know, in the last group on Saturday at the Masters. I know that the patrons, the galleries won't be as big as they usually are, but you know, I think he had the ability to kind of freewheel it, fire at some pins today, especially with the softer conditions. But take nothing away from him, but yeah, 11-1, you probably, you know, missed out a bit. You know, if you got to have a quick finger, like you said, if you're live betting at home on your app, you know, you got to be ready to fire. Like Cam Champ.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he had just put it close on the second hole for Eagle. On number two, I saw the 70, you know, got on it. His odds slash in half because he birdied the next two holes. So anyway, let's get into who you like, Christopher, whether it's someone down the board or, you know, someone among the favorites who you think still has value, because that's the thing, right? You know, it's one thing to say Jordan Spieth's going to win, but at this point, you know, 4-1 odds. He opened the week at 11-1. You know, even that number, a lot of people thought was too short. And that's been slashed more than half. So is there anyone among the leaders or really anywhere on the board? Where are you starting based off value and who you're liking?
Well, I'm glad we didn't recap any of our pre-tournament bets.
Oh, we will. We will.
All I've got left is Justin Thomas right now. It is a massacre of epic proportions.
Yeah.
I'm literally just Thomas as my number one outright, and then Abraham Ancer, who I think is even par.
Yeah,
should be 2-under without bummed that. About that stupid penalty.
Yep.
Big ticket on him, you know, maybe if he goes low tomorrow. But other than that, it is a barren, wasteland. Steve just choked on his adult beverage.
Of choice.
Yeah. So thank God even that we haven't recapped that. But yeah, anyway, I did bet on Rahm 50-1. I think he'll go out and shoot a 66, 67 tomorrow. And, you know, then you pretty much still need a miracle on Sunday unless, you know, Rose comes back or, you know, the late guys only shoot 1 or 2 under and Rahm can kind of get within shouting distance. And then I did throw a dart. I'm going to go with Hovland at 66-1. I know these two rounds have been crazy and very much like concession where he was making sevens but still contended and finished runner up. He's a very volatile player. He's, you know, like Phil Mickelson almost. A lot of bogeys, a lot of big numbers, but he can fill it up birdie wise and fights back. You know, we triple bogeyed the first hole this week, yeah. And then, you know, he's at even par and he's got a chance to shoot 500 tomorrow and get in contention. So 66-1. You know, we're talking about all these guys ahead. There's not a lot of value at the top of this board right now. It would have been in Zalatoris if they priced him at like 20-1, but they respect him a lot. Like I said, you know, I was looking at Xander all day. They give him so much respect, and you know what? He's got the game we talk about all the time. He does everything well, but man, I would love to bet him at like 30-1 a couple shots back, but they put him at in the teens among the favorites. So it's like impossible to bet him. So I'm going with Hovland 66-1. That is my other dart throw. I have one more, but I'll let you get to any of yours first.
Yeah, I got two that stand out. I got Colin Morikawa, who is
I mean, he's what,
40-1? Yeah, he's 33-1 at William Hill. So, you know, pretty much the same odds he was pre-tournament and right in the mix. I mean, you know, there's still 36 holes left, and we know what could happen, especially on the back nine at Augusta. Morikawa seems like he's figuring out how to play around here. He doesn't have the experience of some of these other guys, but, you know, a solid 3-under round today, 69. And, you know, it seemed like he's really thinking his way around here. He knows where not to miss. And, you know, he's such a cerebral player, as we know. He's just such a smart guy that, you know, you trust him to make all the right decisions when he's in contention. So 33-1, I think definitely has some value. You know, the win equity is there, the PGA champion at Harding Park. So compared to some of these other guys, like I said, Ryan Palmer is 125-1. That's a great number. He's at the same number as Morikawa, but you obviously trust Morikawa to get the win more than you trust Ryan Palmer. So, and speaking of win equity, I think Cam Smith at 40-1 at William Hill also presents a little value too. He's 2-under, so just 5 back. And we know how much he likes Augusta National. And I think he got, at least in my mind, leading up to the tournament, I kind of discounted him a little bit because he came in not in the best form. He was a little hotter, you know, like a month or so ago. I bet him. I was on him at concession when he kind of imploded. That was disappointing. And that was probably in the front of my mind. But, you know, so I didn't give him enough credit for being here in November. I thought, you know, maybe that was just November, but he's proven he loves this place. He was at 5-under until where was his yeah, he had the double at 15.
Yeah,
that was such kind a dagger.
Thank you, bogeyed
14 too.
Yeah,
right before it kind of just undid a ton of great work.
Yeah,
they were talking about course record, you know, when he eagled 13.
Exactly. Yeah, he was 7 under at the time. So, you know, you just come in with a few more birdies and he had 15 to play. But yeah, so I think 40-1 is definitely live for Cam Smith. And I would look at a matchup if you could get him over. I'm not sure who he's playing with tomorrow, but it might be Ryan Palmer because they're both the 2 under. I mean, I would smash that for sure. So you got one other guy. CP, who you got?
Yeah, another guy at even.
I think they're kind of sleeping on Tommy Fleetwood. I bet him 125-1. 2 under today, I believe. You know, same score as John Rahm right now and double, almost triple the price. Guy that has a proclivity to kind of fire up the leaderboard on Saturday at a major. Sunday even, we saw at Shinnecock, and then he kind of folded on the 18th green when he had a chance to shoot that crazy number. But, you know, 125-1, I just think that's a great, you know, number for a guy that's 7 back, but has the kind of firepower to potentially shoot a 66, 65 tomorrow and get in the mix. So it's Rahm, Hovland and Fleetwood for me. And they're all, you know, Hail Marys because my card pre-tournament card is up in flames.
Yeah, I had Spieth, so I'm looking okay there. That was my bold take of the week on this week's pod, that Spieth would go back-to-back. So still looking okay as I'm knocking on wood. And Rahm was one of my picks, too. That got the social treatment. So I'm rooting for him like your bet was. An interesting matchup I'm seeing here at another book is Justin Thomas against Jordan Spieth. And, you know, Spieth's 5 under, Thomas is 4 under. Thomas is the underdog, plus 110 against Spieth. I think that has a ton of value. I know Spieth, you know, has the better record at Augusta. He's coming off the win, et cetera. But JT, you know, has potential to go so low like he did today. And, you know, he has a little less pressure on him, I'd say. I would say Spieth has a little more pressure, you know, given his record at Augusta. You know, he knows he could do it around here, and he's looking to take that next step. Obviously JT wants to win the Masters as much as Spieth does, but I think he'll probably approach it with a little more loose of an attitude. So anyway, just because they're one stroke difference, you're getting plus odds on JT, and I think that's decent. So if you see that on your book, JT plus 110 against Spieth, I think that has some value. Any other bets like that?
I guess these matchups just kind of hit for some of these books. I just finally got mine to come up. They have this particular book has Zalatoris favored over Justin Rose tomorrow. That is
mind-blowing.
Yeah, minus 120. Minus 130. That's tie no bet. The three way, or not the three way. The three way is minus 106. Rose is plus 120. That is out of control.
I mean,
I would think Rose is going to shoot under par tomorrow, 3 under, 2 under, and that might do. I mean, I think Zalatoris, I said it, he's an amazing player. You talked about the iron play. This is something he's never experienced, what he's going to experience tomorrow, even with limited capacity, patrons, fans, whatever you want to call them. The pressure is immense. I think I did love a quote I saw. I think our boy, my boy, David Gordon, who's running our pool and taking shots at me in an email, which is very on brand for him. That freaking guy was always taking shots at me when we were interning together.
When I'm in the lead of said pool and you're last place in said pool, it's just easy material. It writes itself. So
yeah, I made a great comeback today in that pool, but I didn't have make the anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, he tweeted out a Zalatoris quote. Maybe it was said on the broadcast. I might have been writing up my Siwoo Kim smashes his putter article. But apparently Zalatoris said the job is not done yet, which is invoking Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. One of the GOATs. That is a legendary quote. I think Kobe said it when they were up like 2-0 in an NBA finals once. And they went on to you know, win the finals. Obviously, someone said, "Why aren't you smiling, Kobe?" And Kobe says, "The job's not done." So pretty sick quote from Willie Z to pull out, you know, when he's won back at the Masters. But again, this is so much pressure. Justin Rose has been literally in this spot before many times, 2017, of course. To put Justin Rose as the underdog against Zalatoris is such crazy disrespect. So yeah. I would probably bet Rose at the plus money there.
It's interesting because, like, if you look at the strokes gain data, which is mostly what the odds makers will, you know, build these lines on, Zalatoris has been much better than Rose, you know, in the past year. So I'm not totally surprised by that. But like you said, what they're not factoring in is that experience, particularly, you know, in a major. There's no real way to quantify that by numbers. So, you know, that's kind of where you could maybe gain an edge. I'd probably take that against you. I'd probably take Willie Z. He just seems like he's got that swagger. And again, that's
he does.
That's like a narrative, you know, not data driven answer, but I don't know, hit that quote. And then he also said, like, "I'm not here just to tee it up. Like, I've dreamed of this moment my whole life. And, you know, I truly believe I can win." Now, obviously everyone's going to say that, but it sounds like he believes it. And I mean, it's just friggin' fun to watch him. I've got him in that pool that I'm in first place in. Not to brag, but maybe to brag a little bit. So I'm already invested.
I have him too, and I'm in
whatever. I was dead last yesterday. Maybe I moved up today. But I got
Spieth. I got Xander Webb, who is so disappointing. That was such a bad bogey on. Well, he bogeyed 16 and 17.
Yeah,
16 was awful. He missed like a 2-footer, and then I think he 3-putted 17 too, which, you know, that's the strength of his game. So that was really, you know, such a disappointing thing to see. He had a birdie chance at 18. There was some carnage at the end of the day. DJ missed the cut. Our guy, Matt Eumanns, on our podcast this week predicted that. So hopefully some folks.
I didn't see what happened, but very disappointing from
Daniel Berger. I saw he made birdie on 16 to get on the cut line. I don't know what he did. Obviously, he made a bogey on one of the last two holes.
17.
A lot of people liked his chances. All that, you know, he thought he should have been in the November Masters, and he gets into this one. Very, very upsetting.
Cost me a few DraftKings lineups. So that was
definitely. And Cantlay was. I did not bet him in any capacity, but I put him in a lineup at the very last minute in the Gordon pool, David Gordon pool. We're talking about. Just because it seemed like everyone was drinking the Cantlay Kool-Aid, and I told myself not to, and I did anyway. And that is wildly disappointing stuff. Cantlay and Berger, my two big disappointments of the week.
Yeah. Well, we still got 36 holes to go, and a lot to bet on. Well, let's get some closing thoughts, maybe one of these over-unders. You took the over on Weisberger, 71.5. That's pretty solid, and at plus money. Finau is interesting to me.
That was the one.
I didn't bet it, but I like the under.
I was just gonna say that plus money for 70.5. I mean,
he doesn't do his fade till Sunday, so
right. And
I like him to shoot a good score at home.
He plays well at Augusta. Like, he obviously loves this place. And all the par fives, he has such an advantage with his length. So, you know, birdie half of them and then just pick up a shot somewhere else. It's easy to say. I mean, Augusta, we'll see how it plays. I hope it plays a little more firm and fast. It was so much fun to watch on Thursday. The guys struggle a little bit. It was a little US Open like, but, you know, I think it's just a little different than what we've seen the last couple of years. So I enjoyed it. Seems like the players enjoyed playing in those conditions. So we'll see. Any closing thoughts from you, CP?
Yeah, my closing thought is I wish that, you know, the person I was confident in, I wish I could just have the confidence to just make one bet on a week like this, but we can't because we're degenerates. I wish I just bet a ton of more money on Justin Thomas because I think he's going to win. Peaking in peak form. I loved what I saw at the Players. I was in person, followed him Saturday and Sunday. It was incredible to watch the way he was hitting the ball. He is really, he is a,
you know, a couple early putts falling from like a 63 on one of these days, if the conditions are right, maybe not this week, but I don't know. He's playing so well right now. And I loved him before the week. And then I ended up betting 9 outrights and Justin Thomas. I should have just used all the money I bet on the other dopes and bet Justin Thomas, because I do think he's still going to win.
Yeah. If you gun to my head, who's going to win at the end of Sunday, Spieth and JT, and if it is them in the final group on Sunday, that would just be amazing. I'm rooting for that, because that would be just entertaining as heck. And we'll see what Justin Rose does. We'll see if that swing kind of holds up. Him and Foley were working on a lot of stuff on the range before their round, and then he struggled. So
yeah, he had a little left miss going early. I was watching the early coverage, obviously. Great fight back.
It was
credit to him to fight back. He could have faded down to even par, and he kind of fought back to 7. So good for him. And that was enough to keep the lead.
Yeah. He's been in this position a lot, which means, he has some confidence, but he also has a lot of scar tissue. And, I think back to 2015, he was there with Spieth. Obviously Spieth ended up running away with it, but so many times Rose has been there, 5 top 10s at Augusta, all the top 10s at majors. So we'll see. It's going to be entertaining. It always is, like you said, at Augusta on the weekend. They just find a way to make it fireworks coming down the stretch. So I'm pumped. We know you all are. So enjoy the weekend at Augusta. Thanks to William Hill, our sponsors. Thanks to, I could say this myself, for being the producer of this podcast. This is a first for us. We're trying to produce this on our own. So if you're listening to this, then by some blessing, it made it up to the podcast player successfully. Anyway,
the Be Right Boys on a Friday night, digging deep,
grinding. Yeah, we're going to be up, a little later, posting some picks for the weekend. So go to golfdigest.com, read that. If you don't subscribe to the Be Right podcast, please do go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment. That helps so much. Tell us in the comments what you think the winning score will be, and who you're picking to win, and we'll shout you out, whoever is closest to the result. Thanks for listening, and enjoy what's going to be a heck of a weekend down in Augusta, Georgia.